أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن
As-salamu alaykum and welcome to Islam in Focus. And our program today is the second on Jesus, the beloved messenger of Allah. I'm your host, Irshad Mimish, and here with me from St. Mary's University is Dr. Jamal Ghaddawi. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Dr. Jamal, could you give our viewers a summary of last week's program, please?
Okay, we started off by indicating how the topic of Jesus, beloved messenger of Allah, relates to the series on prophethood, indicating that since Islam requires believing in, loving, and respecting all prophets and messengers, then one, for the Muslim, he must understand what the Quran says about Jesus. And for the other friends who are not Muslims, I think it would be useful to compare also how the views, or how the, in fact, the information given about Jesus in the Quran differ from other sources. We discussed next the extent to which Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, indicated that in about 11 surahs out of 114 there is some mention, at least in part or in a few passages, about Jesus. About his lineage, we indicated that he comes, according to the Quran, from the lineage of Abraham, and more closely, when you come down throughout history, he comes from the family of Imran, and we explained again the descent, at least beginning from his grandmother, who was the mother of Mary. And we also touched a little bit on the similarities between Jesus and John the Baptist, not only in terms of family relationship, but also we discussed some of the similarities between both important figures.
Were there any other similarities between Jesus and John the Baptist?
Well, in addition to the things that we discussed in the previous program, pertaining, for example, to the some degree of miracle in the birth of both of them, that the name was given to both of them again before their birth, that both of them had some aspects of uniqueness in their lives, and the fact that both of them, as far as we know, did not get married or get any children. In addition to this, the soul, I think we discussed also last time, that the soul of both of them continues to live like other prophets and martyrs. And then the name Yahya itself was actually a prediction that he will die as a martyr, and the Quran indicates that the martyr's soul continues to live. But in addition, there is also a couple of similarities. One is that they have been a conspiracy or an attempt on the life of both of them, of John the Baptist and Jesus. According to the Quran, in one case, it did not succeed. That's the case of Jesus, peace be upon him. But it appeared to people that they have successfully crucified him. But this is a matter, again, that we will discuss later. And finally, there's an interesting connection also between John the Baptist and Jesus, similar to the connection between Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon them all. Because John the Baptist's advent paved the way to one to come after him, greater than he was, and that was Jesus, peace be upon him, who performed a greater role. In the same way, we find that the coming of Jesus was also paving the way in preparation to one who comes after him, again the paraclete, the issue that has been misunderstood and misinterpreted throughout history, even from the Bible itself, one to come after him to perform the greater role of being the last and seal of the messengers of Allah. That's Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There's no wonder in when we review these similarities between John the Baptist and Jesus that both of them seem to have almost uttered almost identical words. Both of them were saying, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." This was reported to have been said by John the Baptist and by Jesus, both of them. And no wonder also we find that John the Baptist and Jesus were humble with each other, and they had lots of praise with each other. This is reflected in the story of baptism, that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and in the meantime he was also, according to what is quoted in the Bible, was saying that, you know, how could he baptize someone who's greater than he is. We find Jesus praising John the Baptist immensely and saying that among all the children born to women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Now, to go back to Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist, we find that he asked Allah to provide him for a sign, with a sign. That is a sign when the birth of his son, John the Baptist, is imminent. And the sign, according to the Quran, was that he will not be able to speak to people for 3 days. But it's not like some people thought that he becomes, you know, totally unable to speak, because the Quran itself says, mention or supplicate the name of your Lord morning and evening, which means that he was able to speak, but only in praises of the Creator, in full devotion of worship, but otherwise he was not able to communicate with people in otherworldly affairs. So this is an interesting, and I found it very illuminating comparisons, which I, when I tried to reflect on the similarities between both figures.
At this point, let's turn our attention to Mary. Was she aware of the birth or the expected birth of Jesus?
Yes, she was. And in fact, we may at this point turn to the Quran for an answer to this question. In Surah number 19, for example, from passages 16 on, I'll just read the first few, 16 to 22. Mm-hmm. It says, "And make mention of Mary in the book when she had withdrawn from her people to a chamber or a place," the Quran says Makanan, "a place looking east, and had chosen seclusion from them. Then we sent to her our spirit," that is a reference to Angel Gabriel, mm-hmm, "and it assumed for her the likeness of a perfect man. She said, I seek refuge in the compassionate one from you, if you are God-fearing. He said," that's Gabriel, "I am only a messenger of your Lord, that I may bestow on you a faultless or pure son." She said, "How can I have a son when no mortal has touched me? Neither have I been unchaste." He said, "So," that is, "so it will be. Your Lord says it is easy for me, and it will be that we may make of him a revelation for mankind," or a sign. Ayah also could be translated as sign. "A sign or revelation for mankind, and a mercy from us. And it is a thing ordained." And she conceived him, and she withdrew with him to a far place. Now, perhaps a couple of comments might perhaps help understand what this passage really refers to. First of all, question may arise, why did Mary seek a secluded place away from her family? Now, whether she secluded herself to devote herself to worship, or because the news began to spread among the Israelites that Mary is pregnant, and there's all kind of question raised about her, so she kept away from her people, that's not necessarily a very significant question anyway, but the fact that she was secluding herself from them. Now, it says in the Quran, the passages we recited, that Allah sent to her His spirit, or we sent to her our spirit. And spirit, as used in the Quran in that particular context, is a reference to Archangel Gabriel, who brought the news or information to Mary of the coming birth of Jesus. In fact, this is described elsewhere in the Quran, in Surah number 3, in passage 42, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is a very interesting passage in the Quran. It says when the angels, again like we talked about Zachariah, it was actually Gabriel, one angel, but again the sound when it comes from different directions, almost like, you know, speaking several angels. When the angel said, "O Mary, Allah has, notice here, chosen you, purified you, and chosen you above the women of all nations." That's an interesting thing, because you notice here that it talks twice in the same verse or same passage about Allah choosing Mary. But there is a difference between both choices. The first one, it simply says, "Stafaki," Allah chose you. But here, it does not mean that she's not the only one chosen, which means that this chosenness is joint chosenness, as Allah also chose Adam, Noah, Abraham, and their descendants. And then after it says, "purified you," it says also, chosen you above women of the nations, which means that there is a special chosenness beyond the general chosenness also. And that is definitely that you will be the mother of one great prophet of Allah. That is why we find that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as quoted in Al-Bahr al-Muhit, describing paradise, he says, خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمْ بِنْتَ عِمْرَانْ وَخَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا خَدِيجَةَ بِنْتَ خُوَيْلِدْ, that the best women, or the best of women in paradise, is Mary, the daughter of Imran, that's the mother of Jesus, and the best of women in paradise is Khadija, that's his wife, the daughter of Khuwaylid. Of course, when it says Khair, it does not mean the one and only, but because the hadith seem to join both of them, but it shows that they have really very special status. And if you look at it really, you find that one of them was a mother of a great prophet, the other one was a wife who supported a great prophet in the great period of tribulation. The Khadija, the wife of the prophet, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, to move on with the passage that we recited before, it says that she wondered, how could she have a child when she's not being touched by any human? She was not married at that time, or at least marriage was not consummated, nor is she a woman who is not chaste, or unchaste, I should say. How could that happen? And then the answer comes in words which are almost identical to the words given to Zachariah when he received the news of the birth of his son, John the Baptist. كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين, thus says your Lord, it is easy for me. So that's an interesting analogy between the two situations. And then it says that the angel told her, لأهب لك, to give you or bestow on you. It does not mean here that Gabriel, who is a servant of Allah, creature of Allah, a Holy Spirit or servant of Allah or angels, it's a creature of Allah in Islamic understanding, he has the power to bestow anything. But it could mean that Allah bestows on you, so the word here are the word of Allah, or لِأَهَبَ لَكِ, to bestow on you with the permission or with the command of Allah a pure child. Now the word زَكِيًّا, as it appears in that passage in reference to Jesus, زَكِيًّا in Arabic literally comes from زَكَاه, and زَكَاه could have two meanings. One, growth, that someone who's continued to grow, but it also means pure, because زَكَاه itself, which is one of the pillars of Islam, means purification. So both of them are related meanings. And by the way, unlike what some people claim, this is not the only description or the only time when the term or its derivative has been used in reference to Jesus. There have been other people also mentioned in the Quran about whom the term zakah or its similar derivatives are used. For example, in Surah number 19, in passage 13, Prophet John the Baptist is described as zakatan, from zakiyan, also zakatan, purity. And the Quran speaks also about those people who are purified, ويزكيهم, by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So the word is a common word. It does not necessarily mean that there's only one person who's zaki or pure, but it means, you know, that he was pure. Others were too. The other thing is that the question that frequently comes in the minds of Muslims and non-Muslims, non-Christians even, maybe is the same question. How did Mary conceive? When there have been different ways of explaining that, there have been people who want to have science as the ultimate judgment to explain everything. And those people, even though they might be religious, whether Christians or otherwise, try to find some explanation around a miraculous birth of Jesus. And as you all know, some people even might say maybe she was already married to Joseph, and they might even refer to the Gospels and say, all right, in the lineage of Jesus, it says Joseph, his father. And I think that's perhaps misunderstanding, and it's not really a way to speak about the miracles that Allah chose to reveal. There have been some ideas also of people who did not really reject the notion of virgin birth or try to explain it out, but they came somehow in between, and they say maybe through the process of parthenogenesis, which is known in plants and other insects like bees, for example, that it might have been possible that it is a miracle, but this miracle took place through the shock or the way Mary received this news that might have led her ovum, even though she was not married, to begin division, cell division, and to produce Jesus. Well, one cannot again say that this is something that's impossible to happen, but to the best of my knowledge, and I'm not a biologist or physician, why don't we hear in the whole human history about any other documented cases of a virgin under the state of shock or whatever other news producing a child without being married, a virgin birth? That is why I'm not too excited about either of these explanations. I think if one sticks to the Quran, we find that, as the Quran describes, that when Gabriel came to Mary, he breathed into her. There are two expressions that appear in that respect. One in Surah 46, in passage number 12, and it says, فَنَفَخْنَا فِيهِ. Some interpreters say فِيهِ means in Jesus, that the spirit of Allah, or the command of Allah, or the breath that gave life to him was breathed into Jesus. Or fihi means in Mary herself. There have been differences of opinion on that, but in any case, in either of these quotations, when it talks about breathing into Mary, it does not mean, as some people want to materialize it, a breath that went into inside her in one particular way or the other, because Allah doesn't need all that to ordain a child to be born. But the word can be understood best if we interpret it in the context of how the Quran elsewhere used the term nafkh, or breathed. And I'll give two references here that might solve this issue, I hope. In Surah number 32, in passage number 9, and also in Surah 38, in passage number 72, we find that it says that Allah created Adam and breathed into him something of his spirit. Now, the breath here, again, does not necessarily something material that came from God. God doesn't have a mouth like ours, you know, cannot materialize God. But it's understood figuratively as the breath of life, that anything, you can make anything that resembles life, even in the initial formation of the human embryo. All right, you can talk about a living thing, but in terms of something that has a soul, that is the secret that Allah has breathed. And since we don't know much about the soul, there's not much benefit of trying to find out or trying to explain how the breath actually came into Mary or came into Adam. It simply means that Allah ordained that life to come into Jesus by his will.
I'd like to ask you now about the pregnancy period. In other words, specifically, was there anything unusual about that period? And also about the experience of Mary at the time.
Okay, to start with, there is no indication in the Quran or any other indication known to me that her pregnancy was different from any other woman, which means that probably she went through the same full term like any other mother. In fact, some of the tradition that some of which I alluded to before, the fact that some news might have spread of her being pregnant and so on, shows that there have been a gradual increase or in the size of the fetus. There is no indication that I know of in the Quran or elsewhere also that there was anything unusual about that pregnancy or childbirth. In fact, the Quran speaks about the pains at the time of birth. We'll come to this quotation in a second. And of course, I'd like to make a footnote here that the purity of Mary that the Quran attests to removes any notion of connection between childbirth pains and the original sin, as we find in the book of Genesis in the Bible, for example, and we discussed that in the series on monotheism. If we turn to the Quran then, to see how the birth was described in Surah number 19 in passages 23 through 26, it reads, "And the pangs of childbirth drove her to the trunk of the palm tree. She said, Oh, would that I had become a thing of naught, forgotten. Then one cried to her from below her, saying, Grieve not, your Lord has placed a rivulet beneath you, and shake the trunk of the palm tree towards you. You will cause ripe dates to fall on you. So eat and drink and be consoled. And if you meet any mortal, say, I have vowed a fast to the compassionate, and may not speak this day to any mortal. Perhaps a couple of comments also, as we did in the previous passages, might help. The question here, why did Mary say, according to the Quran, that I wish I died before, I wish I was nothing and forgotten thing of the past, even though she was a believer, she was informed by Gabriel himself, the angel of revelation, that she's going to have a birth of a child without a father, without a physical father. Why was she so distressed at this time? Only Allah knows the answer to that, but there have been some Mufassireen, like Al-Alusi, interpreters of the Quran, who said that probably because the angels informed Mary that that child of hers, that holy child, unfortunately will be worshipped by people against his will and against the will of he who created him, that, and as such she was very disappointed, because of course she was a monotheist, with a strict monotheist, coming from this, you know, Israelite tradition of believing in the one God. So maybe because of her piety she was sad that even though the child is guiltless, he would be a cause of many people to divert and start deifying him. Again, whether that's the reason or not, one cannot say for sure. Secondly, what kind of tree did she shake, or was she asked to shake? Was that palm tree really carrying dates, or was it dry and didn't have any dates? Was it during the season of dates or not? This is an issue that you could have so much discussion on. I'll just make a quick reference to some of the arguments that might be raised. If we assume that the palm tree did actually have dates, this might raise a very important question about the date of birth of Jesus, because we know that dates do not ripe in Palestine area in winter, in December. It must have been towards the end of the summer. And again, you might find people like Reverend Armstrong who have written already a booklet stating that the birth of Jesus was not really in December, and he based that on quotations actually from the New Testament, but I'm not getting into that now. But the question here again, as to whether the tree was fruitful or not at that time, to me, what is really more fascinating is how could we expect a woman who just gave birth to a baby to be able to shake a trunk of a huge and strong palm tree so that the date would fall on her. Obviously, this is a miracle. So no matter how you want to explain it, still, that fact itself is a miracle, and it shows that Allah only ordained Mary to try, even though her attempt is nothing, but to try, and but Allah will take care of the rest and let the date fall on her, whether again the tree was fruitful or not. One of the interpreters of the Quran made a very nice commentary about the connection between dates and the sun, because the palm trees are a very special type of trees. Indeed, Prophet Muhammad, as narrated in Ahmad, once said, I know of a tree whose fruit is like, or whose blessing is like the good believing Muslim. That is the palm tree. So it's a special tree. The fruit of the palm tree is special also. You know, the sweetness and the benefit and the nourishment that you get from fresh dates. Something that we're deprived of here in this part, yes, of the world, you know, but those who appreciate it, they understand, you know, how delicious and how fruitful and nourishing dates are. And as if Allah is making this analogy between the sweetness and nourishment of the date and the sweetness also and spiritual nourishment of that baby born, Jesus, peace be upon him. It's a, just a nice thought that I thought he could share, that one of the interpreters forwarded. But what really is more miraculous even is what happened after birth. That is, when she was distressed, the voice came from underneath her. Now, some interpreters say maybe that was the voice of an angel or Gabriel, but there is again equally powerful argument that this was indeed the voice of her own baby, Jesus, peace be upon him, speaking miraculously soon after birth to assure and to console his mother. Just a beautiful, you know, the way it's presented, it's amazing.
It is amazing and it is beautiful. Yeah. I'd like to ask you, what was the reaction of the people at the time to the birth, that is?
Well, if we turn again to the Quran in the same chapter, that's 19. I'll just read first the text of the verses, and then if there's any remark or questions, I'd be glad to explain it. It says, then she, that is Mary, brought him to, that is to her own folk, carrying him. They said, O Mary, you have come with an amazing thing. O sister of Aaron, your father was not a wicked man, nor was your mother a harlot. Then she pointed to him, that is to Jesus. They said, how can we talk to one who is in the cradle, a young boy? He spoke, see, I am the slave or servant of Allah. He has given me the book and has appointed me a prophet and has made me blessed wherever I may be and has enjoined on me prayer and almsgiving so long as I remain alive. And he has made me dutiful towards her, that is towards my mother, who bore me, and has not made me arrogant, unblessed. Peace on me the day I was born, and the day I die, and the day I shall be raised alive. Such was Jesus, son of Mary. This is a statement of the truth concerning which they doubt. It does not befit the majesty of Allah that he should take to himself a son. Glory be to him. When he decrees a thing, he says to it only, be, and it is. And see, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so serve him. This is the straight path. I realized again that the passage is a bit, it's a bit long, and perhaps a number of clarifications perhaps might be called for.
Actually, I would like it, but I'm afraid,
right,
I'm going to...
Exactly. So we'll perhaps take a rain check, maybe.
Maybe until next week's program. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jamal. And thank you all for joining us here on Islam in Focus. We would appreciate your comments or any questions. Our phone number and our address will be appearing on your screen. From all of us, assalamu alaikum, and hope to see you next week.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله